Hi, my name is Brian Moranville, and I'd like to give you an introduction to data reduction for the reflectometry instruments at the NIST Center for Neutron Research. So where I'd like to start here is on the NCNR webpage, www.nist.gov/NCNR. So this is sort of our central location for information about the NCNR. And then let's go to our instruments here and click on reflectometry. This is sort of a general page for all the reflectometry instruments, and it contains links to important tools and other information. There's some of the lectures, like there's an earlier version of the lecture that Chuck gave here, and then this is the one we're going to be looking at right now. So this is our data reduction, so we click on there. That takes us to the online data reduction application. All right, so now I'm going to give a quick overview of what you see on your screen here, just to give you the lay of the land. On the bottom here, we have what we call the template. This is the recipe for how your data will get processed and reduced. On the left side here, you can see these little boxes that have titles, load spec, load BG plus, load BG minus. So this is where you choose the data files that you want to load and operate on. And then they get processed through all these different steps. And then at the end, they get combined into something that you can actually use. I'll talk a little bit more about what the template does and what all these different boxes mean in a little bit. The left panel here is the file chooser. So this is a view of the data repository, all of the data files that are taken on all of the instruments at the NCNR are recorded in our online data repository and are available just over the web. And this panel gives a browsable view of those and lets you select those files for further processing. Over here on the right, this is where you control the parameters that you want to set for your various reduction steps. So right now we've chosen the loader here. And so this is the super load module for reflectometry that has lots of different parameters in it. It's kind of a combined module that has lots of other functions built into it. So it does lots of different steps at once that we typically do right at the beginning of every reduction. So the file list is currently zero. We haven't chosen any files. I'll show you that in a moment. And then apply dead time correction for the monitor and the detector. I think by default, these are now supposed to be set, but not for this template that we have. The intent, that's what kind of data file you took, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. So these are, you can have checkboxes for the Boolean fields, and then sometimes there are drop-down options that give you a choice. If no choice was selected, if it was just left blank in the template, then it tells you what the default value is that will get used when it actually gets processed. If you want to set a real value, you can choose one of those and it shows you that there. If you clear it and you remove all the values from the module, then everything goes back to its default. And that removes some of the things that actually had been preset in this template. So the specular intent had been preset, and we lose that when we hit clear also. So this is just where you put in each of these boxes is a function in the template, and over here is where you put in the parameters for the function. And a lot of times you can just use what the defaults are, but sometimes you want to put something in there. And then sometimes you need to set items, you need to change settings in here. So the menu is available from the little menu icon over here. These are items related to the template that I showed you down below. These are items related to your data. And then there's some general settings, whether you want to cache calculations. If you're actively reducing your data while you're taking data, then this automatically uses newer files if they're available. So it sort of does live reduction. And then auto accept changes, that's probably always true. And for us, we're doing reflectometry reduction. This is actually available for a couple different instrument classes. You can do rudimentary reduction for a DCS or USANS or SANS also. But we're doing reflectometry reduction. So the template that's shown down there right now is the default one when you first load, which is unpolarized. So if we load that, that just gives us back this same template here. And you can upload templates, you can download templates, so you can save your work to your computer, and then you can re-upload it and do things from there. So let's do a couple of steps and just show, you know, the person who took the data knows the most about what parameters need to be set for doing the reduction, because some of these are related to decisions that you make while you're taking the data. But I'm just going to start clicking and showing you the general process. So I'm going through here. So the base directory is called NCNR data. This is the base directory of our data repository. And let's reduce some data from the Magic Reflectometer instrument. These are folders that are clearly dates. This is the 2020-11 is the 11th month of 2020. And these are actually cycle names. That's how we name our cycles for the reactor. We have several cycles every year. You can see we had this many in 2019. And they get named after the start month of the start of the cycle. So let's look at some data from 2020-09, the September cycle of last year. And let's look at 27668. So this is a number that you get from your proposal ID. Once you submit your proposal, when you successfully get some beam time, you'll be given an IMS ID, and this uniquely identifies that experiment. And then within there, you have data for that experiment. So this one happens to have a lot, has 426 data files in it. But let's just start with the first data set. So these, the way the reflectometry data gets organized by default is to show you the sample name and in a hierarchy, and then the intent. So this is when you're taking scans of the instrument, you can take background scans, specular scans, intensity scans, and this, so it sorts them by that. Within that, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 files taken within the specular. And some people really like to break up their specular scans into smaller chunks like this. And this view shows you which Q range is covered by each one of these little chunks. So in order to get the whole Q range, you probably want to select all of these, and you can do that by clicking in this box up here on specular, and that chooses all of these. And then that shows you what this middle panel is for. So this is where the plots show up. So this is the result of checking that box. And this is a preliminary load. This isn't actually fully loaded because it hasn't applied these corrections to it yet. To do that, you just click on the output of the loader here. So now this is normalized and dead times have been applied. There's still a big jump here, but we'll see why that is in a bit. For the normalization, default is auto, but that also means monitor. I think it's always monitor. So we've selected this module over here for load specular data, and we've gone and we've checked this box to select all of these files to be our specular data. So that's how we chose our specular data. Now if we go down here to the left and we click on load background, we can see nothing is selected for this loader. But up here, for this sample, we have background plus right here. See, there's a bunch of files in here. Let's choose all of these guys. I don't know what the remainders of these for. I guess I just repeated. Maybe we should just choose them all. Let's choose them all. All right. And then we can see the loaded data for that. So this is all normalized. And then let's go choose some background minus. Let's just pick all those. All right. So now if I press Control and then I click on the output and then I click on the output of the one above and the output of the one above, I can see all of them at the same time. And this is, clearly there's a lot of data in here. You can just drag that around. And that's too much to really visualize well. So masking step lets you cut off data points that you don't like. If there's any particular data points that you find troublesome, maybe you don't like this point because it seems like it's wrong or something. You have to be really careful about masking things because this is, you don't want to massage your data, but once in a while you can tell something went horribly wrong. And if you talk to the instrument scientist about it, they can tell you which things you really want to mask off. Some of them, for instance, in the specular, if we look closely down here, this initial dip, this is the main beam. So we have good physical knowledge about what we're seeing here. This is the main beam that's coming through, and then it drops down as you clear the main beam, and then you're starting to see the actual specular reflection. We don't care about the main beam, so when we go to our mask step, we can probably, select zoom over here so we can see what we're doing, and then go back to select, and let's just select those two points and then get rid of them. So after the mask step, they're gone. See, they were there, and now they're gone. All right, and then after join, it combines all of these different scans into one big scan. This one still has a big jump in it. Now if we go over here to the input to subtract, so subtract background has three inputs, data, back P, and back M. And if you want to know more about what any particular module does, so I've selected the subtract background module here. If I click on help, it gives me a more detailed description of how that module works, what the function under the hood is actually doing. These are all the inputs, and this is what it returns. And you can click on that help from any of the modules. We click on the output of subtract, and it looks a little different, not very different. We can compare before and after subtraction. So it goes down, it drops a little bit after you do the subtraction. On a log scale, you can see it. It matters a lot more out at high Q. So this yellow is the subtracted data. All right, and the other thing we have to do to make reflectometry data is divide by the incident intensity. So we'll go back over here. I'm going to load the slit scans, and I'm going to click on intensity. And so there's all of my intensity scans. After I load them in and divide by time, we see this. And this is a little funky. We have two scans that are along the right path and then two that are reduced. And this is a detail of how we take the measurements. We measure without an attenuator at... these are all measured in the direct beam, but when you're measuring your reflectivity, as you go out to higher Q, you tend to open the slits. And as you do so, the incident intensity on the sample actually goes up. And so you need to divide by that. But when you're measuring the main beam, as the intensity goes up, you have to put attenuators in so you don't saturate the detector. So that's what's been done here. One attenuator was added here, and then it went up again, and then another attenuator was added in, and we start up there. So to fix this, we have this rescale in here, and this is kind of a kludge. Really, your instrument scientist will help you determine the real attenuation values, but you can manually enter them here just by clicking and dragging, and then click on the output, and it shows you this is, so after it's been rescaled, it looks like this, and I want to do the same thing for this curve, so I go back to the input, and then I'll click this and drag it up, and you can see over here on the right, if you watch these numbers, so the scaling is 1 and 1 for the first two curves, but then for the third one, it's 14, and then for this last one, it's 18, but as I drag it up, you'll see that number go up to 60, roughly. So they sort of look like they align there. And then click there. So that's our two attenuations, 14.74 and 60. And there's some fine-tuning you can do on that. And then after we combine those into one scan, so this is our intensity scan, and we're going to divide our subtracted specular scan. We're going to divide it by the intensity scan. So there is there, and then we look at the output, and it looks almost the same. And that's, it obviously doesn't look the same when you compare them side by side. So this has nearly a reflectivity of just about 1, and that's what you're supposed to see below the critical edge. And then you can see this big jump that happened right here. That was because of a very quick change in the intensity of the incident beam, because the slits changed in a stepwise fashion there. We went from a particular slit setting that we use at low Q to a particular setting we use at high Q, and there's a discontinuity in the slit size there. And so if you divide by that, then this feature goes away, because I mean, it's dividing by the incident intensity, so it's supposed to look like this. This is the data without, when you don't care about what the slit settings were or anything. All you care about is R, the reflected intensity divided by the incident intensity, and that's what the yellow curve is. That's what you get at the end of the day. This is R. So this is the value that you can fit. And so once you've gotten a value that you can fit, you go to export here or up in the menu, data, export, and then takes you through this 1, 2, 3 process. So first you're going to select the export type. For now, we can only export column type. That's the only type the fitter will accept, and the NXREFL is kind of an experimental format. And combine outputs, if you only have one reflectivity curve, this checkbox doesn't matter. But if you're doing polarized beam where you have multiple outputs, then you want to check this box so that all of your cross sections go into the same file, so you only have to load one file into the fitter. So we'll leave that box checked. I click continue. All right, so it's gotten it from the server, and the last step is to route the exported data. What do we want to do with the data? There's a couple things we can do. We can send it to a web fitter just for playing around with it. It'll actually load the data into a web page where we have a web fitter available, or a polarized web fitter. But let's just download it. So we export. And so now this is the file. Let's open it with a text editor, just have a look at it. And then this is what came out. So this first line is really, really long. This is all one line from the top down to here. And this is actually a text representation of that template that we were just looking at with all of the settings, with all the file names. So you can see there's some file names embedded in here. NCNR Data Magic 2020-09, 27668, CSIPT1297.nxz.cgd. That's a file name. And there's a bunch of those. So this tells you which files got loaded and what all the settings were for that template. So that tells you something about, this is embedded in all of your exported reduced data files. And then there's some headers that tell you about the wavelength, and then a little bit, and the angles, and then a little bit farther down, you get to the actual data. So here's the columns, QZ, intensity, uncertainty, resolution, and there's the units, and then four columns of data that take you all the way down to the bottom. So you can load this into whatever program you like to use for plotting things, or you can load this directly into our fitting program, REFL1D, which you'll get more information about a little bit later. And so one of the useful things about embedding this in here is that if I actually save this file, save as, let's save it in downloads, save it as that REFL name, replace, all right. And then let's say we come back and we go to a different computer and we load up this application again, and we want to either see what we were working on or change what we did with that file. So now we can reload exported, and I go to my downloads, I click that file, and it reads that template back in, and now it has the entire, the whole thing is here. It's showing on a linear scale instead of log, but it's the same. So this is the same. Everything is reproduced. Everything that you did for reducing that file, all the choices you made, which boxes you checked, which files you selected. So you can share your work that way. When you send this reduced file to a collaborator, they can reload it into this online application and see how the reduction happened, and they can give you input on whether that was the right thing to do and that kind of thing. So it's a way of sharing the reduction back and forth. You can also just download the template without the actual data in it. So you don't have to have the column data attached at the end. You can download just the template by itself right here in the menu. Click download template. Another thing that might come up is if you don't want to reduce your data with exactly this set of functions, you can change it. So go over here and say edit, and it brings up the editor that lets you change the template. So if I wanted to add another rescale at the end or something like that, so I'll go down to rescale, and I move that over here, and then I click on one of these and I drag it over here, let go, and it makes a wire. So these are all wired together, and this is how the template gets built in the first place. If I hit apply changes, then that change shows up here and I can go use it. So now after I've finished this thing, if I want to rescale it, I can take it and I can say I want to make it really, really big. So I make it big and then I rescale it, and then that's my rescaled value. And I can compare it by clicking the output of here and the output of here. So that's the rescaled value. You can also remove pieces or reformat the whole thing. So when we build new templates, like if we look at some of the more complicated ones, polarized footprint correct. This is a common one for doing polarized reduction. So you load in all of your things, but then you have to do some things that are specific to polarized beam, correct polarization, fit footprint, correct footprint, and then you can fit the data at the end. And this data over here is not polarized, so we can't use it with this one. But yeah, that's an overview of the various things that you can do for data reduction using Reductus, the online program for reflectometers at the NIST Center for Neutron Research. Thanks.